Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Mouthing Off with Mike, the only wrestling podcast that knows this weekend is RVD's and Matt Riddle's favorite holiday. If you know, you know. But we do know one thing. This Sunday, we've got AEW Dynasty taking place out in St. Louis. And I've got good brother, host of Drop the Mic, host of Out of Pocket on the Tobacco Road Sports Radio, Michael Davis. What's going on, man? How you been?
I've been doing really good, super busy, and I didn't know that Rob Van Dam and Matt Riddle were looking forward to AEW Dynasty like we are.
They are, in fact, looking forward to it. Funny enough, Tony Khan has announced the high-flying four-way match, which we'll see RVD in action Saturday night on Rampage, because we have 3 hours of AEW programming Saturday. We've got Dynasty Sunday, so Tony Khan is in his WrestleMania bag, it seems, with two nights of AEW wrestling. But we're going to talk about Dynasty, ladies and gentlemen, and we're going to start with the zero-hour matches. Now, there's one match that I really wish was on this zero-hour, and I would do a lot of things to put it on that zero-hour. We'll get into it when we talk the main card, but first, zero-hour match, we're going to see the Acclaimed take on the Bang Bang Gang, Bullet Club Gold, and we're going to unify the Ring of Honor six-man championship with the AEW Trios championship. I'm giving this win to the Bang Bang Gang. It is time to get those titles off the Acclaim because they are wasting away on them right now. Mike.
So I really wish this was on the main card, I'll be honest, because I'm super excited, especially when you're unifying the titles. I think it's long overdue, and I'm going to actually take the Acclaim to win it. I would really love, especially looking at the rest of the roster, I'd love to see Jay White get more of a main event push this summer. So having the trio styles on him would probably decline that chance.
All right, valid points. I'll take it. Mike's going with the Acclaim. I'm going with the Bang Bang Gang. Next match here on the 0 hour, recently announced, I believe Thursday. We're recording this, you know, Friday morning. You should be listening to this Friday night, Saturday morning. So if anything else is added, stay tuned to our socials. I'll pop them up here real quick. But we got Orange Cassidy tag teaming with Katsuyori Shibata to take on Shane Taylor and Lee Moriarty, a match that was developed after a Wednesday night Dynamite angle, which saw Shane Taylor beat the living hell out of Orange Cassidy after their match. I'm going to give this win to Orange Cassidy and Shibata. It just makes all the sense in the world. They're going to get the lick back from the beatdown on Wednesday. Mike, thoughts on this match?
Yeah, it's pretty obvious who's winning. Orange Cassidy and Shibata are not losing on a 0 hour. But kudos to Shane Taylor. I'm glad that he's getting used by AEW.
Very valid point, I will say. Shane Taylor, Lee Moriarty, super underrated. Even if you weren't a fan of Lee Moriarty's chops last week on Collision, I saw the whole internet wrestling discourse, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to get into it. We're not doing that here today. We got Trent Beretta, former best friend to Orange Cassidy, now absolute arch rival, nemesis. The man's a hater. He's putting in his hat for hater of the year, Mike. Would you agree here with what we've been seeing from Trent?
Yeah, and they've been teasing this turn a while. If you've been watching programming and seeing Trent's facial expressions or his body language standing kind of offish to the rest of the best friends, they've been teasing this a while.
Oh, yeah. This has been a slow burn. Man's pissed that Orange Cassidy and him haven't been able to win the big one. Man's pissed that Orange Cassidy was a singles title holder for, so long that I can't even tell you, man. The international title doesn't even feel the same without him holding it. Nevertheless, going to give the win to Trent Beretta. He's taking on Matt Sydal. It makes all the sense in the world. They're going to keep building Trent Beretta up as that dastardly heel. Mike?
Oh, for sure. Completely. Trent Beretta wins this one. I just really don't love this being on the 0 hour at the same hour as Orange Cassidy's match. Feels like they could have had this on Dynamite this upcoming Wednesday.
I'll be honest. Outside of the six-man title match, all of these matches belong on Dynamite for Wednesday. I don't understand.
Even Rampage.
Yeah, I mean, you could have done one of these easily on the 3 hour block of Collision Rampage, which it looks like a good show. I'm not gonna get into the mud with that one, but we're gonna get into the main card here. We blew through the 0 hour. Really not much to talk about elsewise, honestly. All right, let's get into these main matches here on the AEW Dynasty card. And I'm just going to get out of the way, ladies and gentlemen. I want out of the Jericho-verse. I want out of the Jericho vortex. I love Chris Jericho. I respect the man's contributions to pro wrestling. But his heart is not in it right now. I don't know what it is. It just feels like he's going through the motions. Mike, I'm sure you disagree. I'll let you get your words in here. We got Jericho and Hook for the FTW Championship. A storyline that has basically turned into what every Jericho storyline has been. I'm going to take you under my wing, kid. I'm going to teach you the ways. You're going to be a world champion. And then he's going to turn on him. And he's going to push his father, Taz. And he's going to become a rival to Hook. And then it's going to be found out after everything is said and done when the match is over that Jericho was just doing this to test Hook. And he passed his test. We all know where this is going. I'm sick of it. I'm giving the win to Hook. End of discussion. Mike, go ahead.
Well, it's not the end of discussion because I cannot stand the Jericho hate disrespect. So
there's no Jericho hate. It's not Jericho hate. I love and respect Chris Jericho. I think Jericho is one of the best pro wrestlers in the world. But this right now, over the last couple months, 6 months, I'd say, I have lost interest in anything Jericho does because he doesn't feel like he's interested in. And I could be wrong, but for the most part, I can feel when a wrestler is passionate about what they're doing on screen. To me, Jericho just feels like he's going through the motions at this point.
I really hope that's not the case. I really hope this is all in Jericho's mind. I mean, I'm sure there's stuff outside of the wrestling world that's probably occupying his mind and stuff. But
we don't know exactly.
If you think about it, you know, think back to when Cody Rhodes was in AEW and there'd be a new guy. The typical, you know, way of things was Cody would wrestle that new guy, Malakai Black being one of them. Okay, let's get Malakai Black a push. Jericho's in a similar role right now where he's not in the main event picture. He's not in the world title picture, but he's seeing guys who could be the future of AEW and giving them a program with a prestigious name like Chris Jericho is. So when I see Jericho work with the likes of Hook, Jericho is giving his stamp of approval on Hook saying, hey, you're one of the guys who's going to lead this next generation of AEW stars. Let's have a match. Let's have a singles match on pay-per-view. We'll go 10, 15 minutes. I'll shake your hand afterwards. I don't think there's anything wrong with what Jericho's doing for AEW because it's not out of selfish ambition to where he's like, I'm going to be the top guy. I'm going to be at the top of the card. And people were complaining about him being the first world champion. But now that he's had that world championship reign under his belt, now he can assist the show in other levels of the card.
I respect that thought, and I agree. I was never one that was like, no, Jericho shouldn't have been the first world champ. That's a great first world champ, and it's established in wrestling company, and it made all the sense. I was a fan. But for me, it's just I'm not captivated by this story. And be honest, are you captivated by this rivalry? Is this something that you're like, you're anticipating this match? I'm not. Obviously, you heard my thoughts and opinions here, but let's be real. Let me ask you a better question. What angle storyline can you remember over the past maybe 6 months to a year that really captivated you with Jericho?
I really like Jericho and Eddie Kingston because you knew the beef there. You knew Eddie Kingston didn't have the respect of the locker room leaders like Jericho, like Bryan Danielson. So when Eddie Kingston wrestled Chris Jericho with the stipulation that if Kingston won, Jericho would shake his hand in the middle of the ring in front of the entire crowd, I felt intrigued by that. But okay.
That's almost about 2 years ago, if I recall.
It may have been last year.
That's about a year and a half, I'd say.
Wow.
I'll pull it.
Yeah. But I'm going to be honest. Like, his favorite part in AEW is always going to be the Inner Circle. The stuff he was doing with Inner Circle, 2 years.
So let's be real. 2 years. You know, you're bringing up a rivalry that's 2 years old. That's the last time you were captivated by a Jericho story. And I'll agree with you. I did enjoy the Eddie Jericho story. There was a lot of lack of respect from Jericho's side. You know, Eddie's scratching and clawing his way up the card. He's getting fan support. But yeah, see, right then and there. I think Takeshita, that was a good feud. But it stalled, and Takeshita's momentum got stalled, and it's also in part to the Callis family. We spent a lot of time on the Jericho stuff, and I'll let you get your last words off, but we'll move on to the next match here. And I think, for the most part, I respect Jericho. It's not Jericho slander. It's just something's off, and I don't know what it is.
And maybe there could be a character change in store for Chris Jericho that kind of reignites that fire. He's very good at reinventing himself and getting to a new character. Maybe it's not stable, but maybe it's a new attitude against some of these younger vet rookies that could help Jericho moving forward.
We'll see. I'm going to give the win to Hook. Who's your pick?
Yeah, I'm going Hook.
Okay. Yeah, FTW Championship staying with Hook. We're going to take a look here at the next match. We've got ourselves a six-man tag match that's not for any title, so a little confusing, but it has some big names in it, ladies and gentlemen. Speaking of the Mad King, Eddie Kingston, we're going to see Eddie Kingston team up with new Ring of Honor World Champion Mark Briscoe and TNT Champion, the Rated R Superstar, Adam Copeland. Going to take some time to get used to that one still. Going up against the House of Black here. Should be a really fun trios match, I've no doubt. You know, interesting tag team dynamic. Not used to seeing Adam Copeland, Eddie Kingston, and Mark Briscoe. Certainly not something that was on my bingo card a year ago. Who do you got in this match, Mike? Give me a little insight into where your head's at.
Well, it wasn't in the bingo card a month ago. Because within this past month, Eddie Kingston lost the Ring of Honor World title to Mark Briscoe. Matt brought that up this week when we did drop the mic for Tobacco Road. And he brought up the point, like, maybe there's beef between Eddie and Mark that cost them the match. But I'm really upset that we don't get a TNT title match this weekend at Dynasty. I feel like if they wanted to run this trios tag, they could do it on Dynamite. Like, that's not out of the question. Why are you putting those filler matches on a pay-per-view card like this? And you could have had this trios match a couple weeks ago, House of Black win, maybe Malakai pins Adam Copeland, and then gets a TNT title opportunity.
What a concept, Mike. Get this man a pen right now. I don't even have my pens on my desk anymore. It's just wrestling memorabilia. But he's 100% spot on. Like, hear me out. This card, there's matches on here that could be matches of the year. Any of them. But at the same time, there is a little bit of filler, and it's confusing because this is a pay-per-view AEW really needs to capitalize on, Mike. We know it. You know, if you haven't caught my rant about the whole footage thing, obviously I'm over it now. It's kind of come and went. It's like whatever at this point, water under the bridge. I didn't think it was a good run at AEW to play it. They're going to say it was. Ratings pop. That's all the network cares about. I don't care about the ratings. I care about what I'm watching, and I wasn't entertained. This needed to be a statement pay-per-view to say, like, look, we are the wrestling company. We are the alternative. We are the challenger. Big names in a trios match don't necessarily do it for me. And I agree. The TNT championship, why take it off Christian? We were getting consistent TNT title matches on pay-per-views with Christian as champ.
Yeah, and where is it? Now, I will be in defense of AEW. I was in attendance at Revolution, their final pay-per-view, Sting's last match, and that was awesome. That was the best live event I've ever seen. We got to witness Ospreay Takeshita. People were turning to their buddies, as my dad did to me, and was like, that's the best match I've ever seen in my life. Same. And the emotion from Sting's final match, like, AEW is going to put on a good show. If you're wanting to be entertained and watch good wrestling for 4 hours on Sunday night, Dynasty is the place to go. Like, we're not bashing that. We're just questioning the creative decisions of when you're putting together these matches.
Thank you. Thank you for putting it so eloquently, because people will be like, oh, they're bashing on anybody. No, we're not bashing on anybody. Look, I'm wearing AEW merch. I got my Swerve shirt on. Like, I'm excited for this pay-per-view. But yes, there are questions. And obviously this match, pretty clear and cut for me. The team of Adam Copeland, Mark Briscoe, and Eddie Kingston win.
No.
Okay. House of Black had a big win.
Well, Malakai needs to hit the kick on Adam Copeland and pin him so that we do get a TNT title match.
I want it. All right. I like it, Mike. Go with that. I'm going to go with my first pick. Mike sounds like he's going House of Black.
Yes, I am.
All right. Let's move on here. We've got the TBS title on the line. A lot of guys on this card, I'm going to be honest. Only the two women's singles matches. Couldn't slot in, if we're going to have all these zero-hour matches, couldn't slot in just one more for the ladies. You know, maybe a multi-woman tag, get some more faces on the show. Very interesting. I could get into the AEW women's division, which I have very high hopes for. Julia Hart's defending against Willow. Very interesting match. We've seen Mercedes Moné in play here. We've seen Chris Statlander in play. We're hinting at potentially Mercedes Moné and Willow potentially for the TBS title, because I think Willow is going to upset Julia Hart at Dynasty.
Wow. As a big Julia Hart and House of Black fan, I hope you're wrong, but I could totally see Willow taking the title so that you could have Mercedes in that spot or even run a triple threat at the next pay-per-view. Double or Nothing is going to be next month, May 26th in Nevada at the MGM Grand Garden Arena. Why not have a triple threat between Julia, Willow, and Mercedes? I was kind of hoping Mercedes would actually wrestle on this card.
Me too. And she said that she's going to wrestle at Double or Nothing. So everything in my mind points to the creative decision to go. Willow gets strapped for the month. Mercedes beats her at Double or Nothing. And they put the title on her right away in her first match, which could be a blessing and a curse for Mercedes. Could see fans turning her back and be like, oh, well, they're pushing these, you know, WWE, ex-WWE superstars to the top again. There's a lot that could be said about this, but the creative and the story is all there for Willow and Mercedes to have a title match. If you don't recall, you know, almost a year and a half ago, Willow and Mercedes had a match. They were going to crown a new New Japan Pro Wrestling Strong Women's Champion. Mercedes got hurt. That's why she hasn't wrestled in over a year and a half. Possible career life-threatening injury. I'm giving everybody the spark notes. Willow ended up winning that title, holding it for a short time. I forgot who she lost it. I think she lost it to Julia. I think.
Essentially.
So. Maybe. Yeah. I have to fact check. Somebody will fact check us in the comments. Hopefully Booking Like a Mark, if you're watching this, fact check us. You kept me honest on the WrestleMania predictions with telling me about the Undertaker and the handicap match. So I'm sure you guys will know this one as well. You guys are very, very smart. So shout out to you guys. Next match. Well, who's your pick on this? I'm sorry. I'm moving too fast. I'm trying to fit everything in. I don't want people to be like, man, they're just talking.
Hey, well, I love when we just talk.
I love it too. So, you know, when you get Mike and Mike together, we just go.
Dude, the multiverse of mics, the main event mics who were cost out of the 3-count trivia championship were coming, by the way.
Allegedly.
It's in due time. It's in due time.
Championship culture. You can hold that belt real tight.
Yeah. So my pick is I'm going to stick with Julia Hart. I think her having TBS title does more. And you could easily insert Mercedes if you want to do a triple threat. Now, I think where AEW is going to find trouble, and I don't want to change the topic at all, is like, no, didn't Tony Khan just say that rankings and records matter? And now look at the card. Like, if Mercedes is going to get a title opportunity at Double or Nothing and presumably her first match, if we got Pac, who just returned from injury, Thunder Rosa, who just returned from injury, Kyle O'Reilly, who just returned from injury, like all three are getting title matches at a pay-per-view rather than just a Dynamite or like, come on, yeah, like make up your mind.
We could talk about, I could go into a whole spiel because I've let that slide for months now. We got like three updates to the rankings. Haven't seen it since. It's like one of those things where it's like, for me, I'll relate it to me. It's like coming up with an idea, like putting it together and be like, this is going to be great. And then you forgot about it. Like, you could call that my spooky season series. Like that's Tony Khan's spooky season series right there. The ratings, man, the rankings. There's a whole thing, dude. I see everybody complaining about it all the time. And I'm like, I'm going to let it slide. It is what it is. And I don't understand. I know some of these are going to be bangers. I have high hopes for this match. You just spoke on it. We got Pac. The Bastard is back, man. That man stays healthy. He's a world champ, in my opinion, or at least, you know, a high mid-card title. But we've got the Rainmaker, Kazuchika Okada, defending the AEW Continental Championship. Not the Transatlantic Championship, not the 24/7 I-77 Interstate Championship, but the Continental Championship. This is kind of a quick one. It's going to be a banger. Okada retains. Problem solved.
Oh, for sure. Maybe R-Truth pops up and he's like, "Wait, where am I? Where's Triple H?"
If there's one thing I need ever happen with WWE, AEW, hell, even Impact, TNA, please do it. I just need R-Truth just showing up randomly at a show and just being like, this ain't Monday Night Raw. This ain't with the title and everything. Like, where's Miz? Like going up to like MJF, going up to MJF, be like, Miz, what are you doing here? Like just something so out of pocket, dude, like that. Like
out of pocket?
Give it to me. Out of pocket. Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Fridays, Tobacco Road, Sports Radio, YouTube. Cheap plug. I got Okada. Who do you got here?
Oh, I got Okada for sure. And that, again, if you guys really want to watch like really good wrestling and a really good match, like we're getting spoiled. We're getting spoiled with Okada Pack, even though the winner's pretty obvious. Okada's not losing for a long time.
Yeah, he's gonna establish that title, I think, and that'll probably be the Okada title for a bit. We've got ourselves a good old fashioned ladder match, ladies and gentlemen. Your EVPs, Nicholas and Matthew Jackson, will take on the FTR boys, Dax and Cash, in a ladder match for the AEW World Tag Team Championship. Mike, I'm gonna let you lead off. Some FTR boys, some North Carolina guys. I'm gonna let you take the stage here.
Hey, top guys are in the Mouth Off with Mike Wrestling podcast right now. But before I move on, like, I really wish the winner take all trios was actually the ladder match and not this tag match, because FTR and Young Bucks can work a regular tag match and make it 7 stars, because it is 7-star FTR. Young Bucks were put in a position to wrestle Sting and Darby Allin at the main event of Revolution, and they were both incredible. So with that being said, I like it. And with them putting the ladder match stipulation for this, it has me some shenanigans. I mentioned this on my show, Drop the Mic, that, you know, we saw the All In footage, you know, with Real CM glass. Punk. But what do we see after that? Like, we see Matt Jackson in a suit coat, but underneath he's wearing a scapegoat t-shirt. Mike, this might be the moment that Jack Perry returns to AEW. Tony Khan's even mentioned Jack Perry in his press conferences. And Jack Perry joins the Elite for their mutual disdain for CM Punk.
Okay. You know, it doesn't get any more clear cut than that, ladies and gentlemen. Hide your glass. Jack Perry's on the prowl, ladies and gentlemen. He's ready to break real glass, and he's going to make you cry rivers. Look, you guys saw my rant. If you didn't see my rant, then what are you doing? I don't hate Jack Perry. I don't hate CM Punk. I like good wrestling. I just wasn't a fan of the whole footage, because you're going to, in storyline respect, you got the good guy's ally choking out the bad guy's potential ally. So, like, when you look at it on a wrestling lens, you're kind of like, they kind of look stupid. But when you look at it from, like, the heat-seeking aspect, yeah, Jack Perry's got Don Callis, Dom levels of heat going on right now. If you guys saw Windy City Riot last Friday in Chicago, that place was insane. You know, I would love to have been there just to see that. And that's it. You know, people want to see this now. Jack Perry's on his way back. I agree with Mike. Ladder match sets it all up nicely. He's going to climb the ladder for the Young Bucks when they're down. He's going to grab the titles. He's going to give them the Young Bucks, and the EVPs are going to ha 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 their way out of AEW Dynasty. But it's probably going to be a 5-star classic. Dave Meltzer is going to probably have lotion at the standby for this one. So we'll see what ends up happening. I'm going to give the win to the Young Bucks.
Oh, yeah. I give it to the Young Bucks as well. I would love to see FTR win the tag titles, because you know the tag division's steady with FTR as champion. Yeah, but it just makes so much sense to reintroduce Jack Perry, which I never thought in a million years he would be getting booed like he is now when they were doing the Jungle Boy and the, well, like the fans love the Tarzan thing.
The song was more over than he was at that point. The people only cared about Jack Perry, Jungle Boy, was to sing the song. Just like for a while, people were only caring about Jericho for Judas.
Out of pocket, but I won't get back into Jericho.
I'm out of pocket, but I might be right. Look, Young Bucks taking it. Mike's saying the Young Bucks. He wants FTR. I want FTR too. But it all makes sense in storyline. The EVPs are going to put themselves on top. That's self-explanatory. A match that I am kind of like on. Roddy Strong defending the International Championship against Kyle O'Reilly, who made his triumphant return back to AEW at Revolution. Good to see Kyle O'Reilly back. Great talent. You know, he's working out the kinks in the ring. The guy had another life-threatening injury. I feel like that's been a lot in the past couple of years with a lot of guys and gals, you know, battling these injuries. So, you know, safe You know, we just need that safe wrestling. You know, just you don't got to do anything crazy. Please don't Darby Allin yourself. You know, for us, please live safe and healthy lives. I'm going to give the win to Roddy Strong here. I don't know if there's any shenanigans that'll ensue. I don't think MJF's coming back. This Adam Cole's not here. MJF only comes back, I feel, if Adam Cole's back to kickstart that rivalry with Undisputed Kingdom, if MJF is coming back. That's all I got to say on this.
Yeah, I don't see Roddy Strong losing this title. And I mentioned, you know, where the records are. At least this makes some storyline sense. But yeah. My eventual prediction is Kyle O'Reilly at some point joins the Undisputed Kingdom. I don't see him as a solo star for long.
No, I think it would benefit him for right now just to, you know, keep himself protected. I mean, I don't know his health concerns. I don't know the extent of his injury, but I know it was pretty gnarly to the point where it was like neck and that nerve damage and stuff with his like arm. Very scary stuff. But yeah, I'm gonna say Roddy Strong gets the win here. Mike, Roddy Strong.
Roddy Strong.
Roddy Strong. Timeless Toni Storm is going to defend her AEW Women's Championship against Thunder Rosa. I love Thunder Rosa, ladies and gentlemen, but Toni Storm, her character work is impeccable. I think the inevitable title will be dropped to Mariah May when Mariah finally wakes up from being Toni Storm's personal mirror. Very interesting story. I kind of like the whole story, the dynamic that's been going on here. Mariah Ray cosplaying as Toni Storm. They've been making out. The Attitude Era is back in AEW, I guess. I thought you were going to say it. That actually might get me canceled.
Hey,
we don't want that.
Only you can cancel you.
That's all right, Paul Heyman. No, we're not getting into that conversation. We got hot mics. I was going to make a reference to the 2000 thing with the lesbians on Raw. I was going to make that comment.
Oh, the HLA, the Eric Bischoff, and then Three Men Warming comes out. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Toni Storm, impeccable character work. We're sidetracked. Toni Storm's going to retain the championship against Thunder Rosa. I'm intrigued to see how this match is going to play out when it comes to the in-ring perspective. I felt that we were going to angle towards Virtuosa part two here, but we went Thunder Rosa. Are we sending Thunder Rosa to the title too soon? You mentioned it earlier. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, and I love Thunder Rosa. I've gotten to meet her at a wrestling fan convention here locally, and she is super nice in person. If you ever get the chance to meet her, I would highly recommend. She's awesome. But yeah, I'm excited for this match. I'm hoping that the rust is kind of knocked off for Thunder Rosa, and we can get a competitive, good match. But yeah, I'm just seeing all these challengers in front of Toni Storm as a way to prepare Mariah May and have that long-term story of Mariah eventually turning on her. I'm seeing shades of Mickey and Trish back in 2006. Absolutely. I'm seeing The Miz and Damian Sandow or Mizdow back in the 2013, 14, 15. There. Yeah.
That one.
That's the way I see this going. So I don't expect this to take too much time, but Mariah May is going to help Toni Storm retain her championship.
I think that's a safe bet. I love it. Thunder Rosa did run through Luther this week, like just ran through him. Like that was, she was flying down the ramp. I don't know if you caught that or not. I was like, damn, Thunder Rosa, she's hauling. To get off the tracks when the train is coming down, one of moments. Potential match of the year. Dream match. Probably going to get 25 stars by Meltzer. I keep making the Meltzer joke because he's a hack. He's a clown. Can't stand him. It had some comments that Trick Williams is mid. Meltzer is mid. We'll leave it at that. Will Ospreay taking on Bryan Danielson. We got the Dragon versus the Billy Goat in a dream match, Mike. My loins are tingling. This is insane. I didn't think it was ever possible. What do you think here? What are you counting?
I'm counting the amount of stars I'm giving this match. Because I'm going to follow in Meltzer's footsteps. Dude, this is why I love that Will Ospreay chose AEW. People were very critical of Ospreay not going to WWE because WWE's on a roll, but AEW just fits Will Ospreay a little bit better because he can go on these pay-per-views. There can be no story or whatever, but you're going to leave the arena just like I left the Greensboro Coliseum saying, yeah, I came for Sting, but man, I just saw a match of the year between Ospreay and Takeshita, and whatever they did that night in Greensboro is going to be top because Ospreay's in the ring with not Takeshita, and Takeshita's a wonderful wrestler, but he's in with Bryan Danielson. These arguably are number one and number two in the world in terms of in-ring skill. Dude, like, the fact that we get to see this before Bryan Danielson retires full-time, the fact that we get to see this in the beginning of Ospreay's rise, dude, I mean, Ospreay's not losing this match. That's my prediction because they're going to prepare him for All In Wembley. But, dude, this match is going to, like, oh, my goodness. Like, if nothing else, watch this match.
100%. I agree. 100%. I mean, look, pay-per-view is a little pricey. $50. I understand, you know, if you don't got the money, I hear you. There's ways to always watch. Remember that. Keep that in mind. I'm not going to promote any other ways, but 100%, you're going to want to check this one out, man. I don't even have the words to convey what the potential this match has, because this is going to elevate Ospreay to the next level. This is going to really set him up. Like, we talk about how Jericho wants to put over young talent. Bryan Danielson's doing it, and he's doing it fantastic. Like, he has elevated so many people in this run right now. Even in wins or losses, he's elevated them. And that's rare to say, you know, when you lose to Bryan Danielson, that you were elevated to, you know, the next level, which it's happened a few times. Will Ospreay, no doubt in my mind, wins this match. I can't wait to see what they paint for us. Bryan Danielson, as we know, is a technical wrestler, Mike. Guy's going to go out there and he's going to make Ospreay wrestle technical style. Will Ospreay succumb to that? Will he get him into his, you know, high moving, high speed, you know, style that Ospreay does, that high flying? Or will Bryan Danielson ground Ospreay and halt that aerial assassin attack? That's the story with this match. You know, a lot of people get on AEW's ass about, they don't have stories. The story is the in-ring wrestling. This is the story. The story is, will the aerial wrestler who's built his arsenal upon speed and impact get slowed down by the wrestler who will slow you down, take you to the ground, and make you wrestle technically? That's what it's all about here. This is going to be a fantastic match. We make the jokes about the star ratings and big, big you-know-what to Meltzy, but this is going to be a match of the year candidate, and we haven't even seen it yet. We all know it. We're just waiting for it to happen. So I'm excited, but we shouldn't overlook the main event of AEW Dynasty. Samoa Joe defending his AEW World Championship against whose house? Swerve's house for the AEW World Heavyweight Championship. Mike, take it away, brother.
I am so excited for this match. I was in Greensboro and was hoping that it would be Swerve's crowning moment as AEW World Champion. I feel like the momentum's on his side. I feel like the momentum is slowly declining because of the story with WWE, with Cody Rhodes taking over. But Swerve's peak was the match with Hangman. They're drinking blood. And then you get into the beginning of the year, World's End. Okay, you're going to Revolution where there's a triple threat match. Swerve doesn't come out on top on that one because Hangman Page cost him the title. And I get it, you didn't want to take away from Sting's last match or have one moment overshadow the other. But now AEW finds themselves in a position where they have, this is mandatory. It's mandatory you put this championship on Swerve Strickland and let him run through the summer. All the way up That's until it. All In, have Swerve versus Ospreay. But if you do not put the title on Swerve, this is going to be one of those runs that you're just looking back and you're like, what if? And I remember Braun Strowman, how over he was back in 2016, 2017. He was flipping over ambulances. He had with Roman Reigns. He should have had the title back then. But you wait 4 years, you put it on him during the pandemic, and it's like a fart in church. No offense, yeah. I love Braun Strowman, but he just wasn't as hot because WWE waited too long. I don't want Swerve's momentum to die out to when where he eventually gets the title. Fans are like, oh, cool, that's happy. I'm happy for him. But I mean, this is a little too late. So
yeah,
there's no other option, man. You gotta have Swerve as the champion. Samoa Joe was already established. He was going to be a transitional champion once MJF had a shoulder injury. Like this is Swerve's house, and it's about to be official.
I 100% agree. What scares me on this is the unpredictable factor that the Young Bucks suspended Hangman Adam Page. And Hangman Adam Page absolutely fucking hates Swerve. Hates him. Hates his guts. What's stopping Hangman from popping up, being the full heel Hangman, and realigning himself with the EVPs, the Elite? We talked about the new face of the Elite. Okada's a part of it. Nicholas and Matthew, you know, the cornerstones. Jack Perry, potentially, which if we're betting guys, yes, Jack Perry's in the Elite. Hangman comes into play. Swerve is a face right now. Joe is the heel. I don't care what anybody tells me. My opinion, Swerve is the face. Joe is the heel, right? Mike agrees. He's shaking his head. He likes what he's hearing. What scares me is the predictable Hangman interfere, screw Swerve over, and then we're going to, what would that be? Swerve Hangman 4.
Yeah.
I think so. That's the predictable finish. That's like the old WWE BS finish. I don't want that to happen. Mike hit the nail on the head. Swerve's momentum is at its peak. It is at the pinnacle. It has to be capitalized on. Pun intended. We're not going to see him. He's not coming. But it's at its crescendo right now. And if you pull the Hangman card, what do people want to see? Number 4? I know. Yes and no, they can make compelling television. It'll be a great storyline. They put in the work. It's been great up to this point, but it is time to crown Swerve as the champ. Agree with Mike again. The play should be Ospreay, Swerve, All In, Wembley. Hate to say it. Obviously, Ospreay goes over in the UK for the moment, for the vibes. I don't want to Swerve to hold the title for only 2-3 months. It would suck, but Swerve's in a spot where it's like, if he loses this match, only way you can get around it is if Hangman interrupts and costs in the match where he's protected in the loss, which that's a strong potential. And I hope it doesn't happen because I want it to be Swerve's house. I want it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to give the win to Swerve. Mike's giving the win to Swerve. That's Dynasty, ladies and gentlemen. That's everything. We're going to Swerve when we drive all the way to Dynasty. I want to thank Mike for coming on the show here. Stay tuned, guys. We've got some really awesome content coming your way. I'll make the announcement with Mike on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm starting a new segment on my show starting next week on the weekly show. The weekly show will return next week. We have Dynasty predictions this weekend. We're going to start a little segment on my show. We're going to take a look. And if you want to be a part of it, hit me up on socials at @MOWM_podcast. I want to talk to wrestling fans. I want to talk about your memorabilia. You guys see my backdrop. You see all these Funkos. You see all the plaques. You see the John Cena rally towels. You see the cups. You see the Funkos. You see Pharaoh. You see everything. I want to see your wrestling merch. But more specifically, I want to see a piece of wrestling merch that holds near and dear to your heart. And I want to talk to you about it. For Mike's memorabilia moment on Mouthing Off with Mike, the first guest will be host of Derek's Toy Show on YouTube, Derek the Devastator on Twitter. He's a good brother. He won a contest of mine. He has a YouTube channel. He talks about his wrestling toy hauls, his memorabilia. So we're going to take a look, talk to Derek, see what piece of wrestling merch he holds near and dear to his heart, check out his collection like you guys get to check out mine. And hopefully this will become a recurring segment. You guys like it. and we'll keep it on the video version of Mouthing Off with Mike per week. So thank you, Mike. Make sure you check out his stuff. I'll pop it up here. Any last words you want to say before I let the people go home and enjoy the pay-per-view and 3 hours of AEW on Saturday night?
I want to see y'all's merch. So hit up my guy, Mike, at MOWM_podcast, and I want to see your merch displayed all over his YouTube channel.
That's what I like to hear, Mike. And make sure you guys go check out Out of Pocket Weeklies Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Wednesday. Drop the mic on the Tobacco Road Sports Radio YouTube and also on the radio in the triad. Ladies and gentlemen, shout out to my homies in North Carolina. That's it here for Mouthing Off with Mike. Ladies and gentlemen, just go out there and enjoy pro wrestling. Mouthing Off with Mike. Mouthing Off with Mike. Mouthing Off with Mike.